Welcome to the Garage to Main Street podcast. I'm your host, Bill Coates.
And I'm your other host, Lacey Paxton.
In today's episode, we're interviewing Lacey about the next steps. You've got this great idea. You have proven that the idea works. You've got it in your garage, or you're working your idea out in your home office. But you realize that you're really not going to make it unless you quit your day job. And all the fears, everything that comes with that, and how do you plan for that? And I'm interviewing Lacey today because she recently did this within the past, year? Six months ago is when you did it?
Last year was September.
Awesome. So tell me about what kind of jobs you had and what made you leave.
All right, so I'll tell you, my very first job, I was 15, and it was the summertime. I turned 15 in May, so I thought...
Does this include carrier pigeons?
It does not include carrier pigeons. My story's not nearly as cool, okay?
So we're doing a two for today. We just recorded an episode with Chad Kanibbe. If you haven't heard it, go listen to it. And one of his first jobs...
I'm not gonna ruin it. Just two words: carrier pigeons.
Yep, that's all.
That's all you get.
You have to go listen to the episode.
So my first jobs, I actually had two that summer because I was an overachiever at all things in life. I sacked groceries at United Supermarkets for $5.15 an hour. Big money. And then I also was a lifeguard and taught swim lessons. And I ended up teaching swim lessons and lifeguarding. I still actually teach swim lessons on the side. It's like my side hustle. I'm very passionate about water safety and I love the water. So
do you do the baby swim lessons?
I do not. I'm a firm believer in 3 to 4, depending on the child, is a great time. For all of that concept to floating, kicking, all those motor skills to all kind of work together. So I'm very passionate about it. I love teaching swim lessons. I do, however, have a role that I don't teach my own kids how to swim.
Nice.
I haven't been successful. So it's fine.
You just drop them in there. They sink to the bottom.
Our 14-year-old was a sinker. She was not a flail and like freak out. She was just like, whatever. I'm just going to go be a mermaid. It's fine. But my real jobs, I actually started out in accounting. I did a lot of accounting work and bookkeeping and things like that when I became a real adult and had to have like a 9-to-5 type job. And ended up interviewing for a position in an accounting department of a development company. And I got the job and then 5 minutes later was offered this opportunity to do commercial leasing. I knew nothing about it. It sounded fun.
What sounded fun about commercial leasing?
Well, you know, I'd always wanted to do something in real estate, but I didn't want to work for my parents. My parents have always done developing and things like that. So I wanted to do something, but I wanted to do it on my own. So I was also like 25. And so I was like, sure, why not? I can do anything. Like, I am Superwoman. I got this. I can do it. So a wonderful company took a chance on me and I learned so much. And so I worked there until after I got married to my husband and loved it. And we knew our lives were changing and we were going to be moving away. And so I left my job and shocker, spoiler alert, I bawled my eyes out. Who knew? I'm a crier. And so we moved to Kerrville, we moved to the hill country of Texas where it's humid as all get out and there's lots of hills and we came from flat and dry. So it's been an adjustment and I took a job in the real estate department of James Avery. James Avery is a jewelry company that was birthed in Kerrville, Texas, and specializes in silver jewelry. That's lots of charm bracelets and really cool stuff. And they have about 100 stores now in their real estate department. And so I was still able to work within my field of passion. But just on the other side, I joked that there's like a dark side and a bright side. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go to the bright side of things. I'm going to work for the tenant. It's going to be great.
So when you first became leasing Lacey,
yeah,
out at your first shop, what was the name of the company?
CMS Properties.
CMS Properties. Were you a salaried employee or were you commission-based?
Oh, no. Salary. I've always been salary-based. So I had a very small amount of money that I made originally and was able to work my way into earning significantly more than I started out, which was great because I was dirt poor when I started. And then James Avery, I was also a salaried employee and I worked on, you know, doing performas on sites and making sure it was far enough away from the other ones. And there's just a lot that a tenant actually goes through to decide, like, where am I placing my next store? Especially when I have over 100, you know? So I worked in that and...
How many stores did you open with James Avery?
I think that I got to work on probably like 25 projects.
That's awesome.
I probably didn't get them all actually to open, but site discovery... things like that. They're actually still opening stores right now that I had my hands involved in, which is fun. It's fun to see them opening these stores and seeing those concept drawings, like pictures of them. Being like, oh, it does look so cool because every store is very unique with them. So I'm a mom. I have two kids. We have two daughters. And it became ever apparent that being an 8-to-5 employee meant that I was missing out on a lot of stuff. I was missing out. Our daughter is a cheerleader at her school. She's in choir. She's in theater. She's very involved. And then our youngest is little and just wanting to be able to go to those classroom parties at her preschool and do all of those things was becoming very apparent that that was not something that aligned with the position that I had. And so my husband and I talked about it. We prayed about it. We Dave Ramsey'd it. Uncle Dave, blessed the change of my career. And we just really started to plan for me to make that change. And, I answered an ad actually on Indeed to be a junior agent with a guy that we work with. And after our conversation, he said, you know way too much to be a junior agent. Let me get you with our broker because I think that you have something to offer. And so I came in twice. I accepted a job and was thinking, all right, I'm doing this. And so I became licensed and then COVID happened.
So what was the determining factor to go from a salaried position where you make X amount of dollars every 2 weeks or weekly or however you were paid to a commission-based, really, eat what you kill, you know, company. What was the thing that made you go, this is the right choice for me? This is what I need to do?
Financially, we could do it.
Okay.
We are blessed that we depend on my husband's salary.
Sure.
To make the things happen in our world. We had paid off enough debt. We didn't have car payments and things like that. So we were comfortable with taking that risk.
Sure.
On me. Plus just knowing that being able to be anywhere and everywhere at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In our world, so much of it, yes, we show spaces, but so much of it is emails and phone calls and follow-ups and follow-ups and follow-ups and follow-ups. That can be done from anywhere just gives me more flexibility as a mom that we've never had the opportunity for me to have. And so it was a good way for me to still pursue my passions, but also put things into perspective. God, family, then work.
Sure. And it's really interesting that you say that. And the reason I ask the question is because I have a very similar story. I started my career in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And was in it for 10 years, doing really, really well. I started out as a dishwasher. And it's funny you said that when you started out at CMS, you were not making very much money. And then by the time you left, you were making, you know, money.
Money.
When I started in the restaurant industry, I was making I don't think it was even $7.25. It was the minimum wage back then was
$6.50 or something.
Yeah, it was $6.50 or something like that. I was making below what minimum wage is today. And by the time I left, obviously I had enough money or was making enough money as a general manager to support a family. And I've had multiple roles. So we did some development stuff. So when you talk about how cool it is to see the James Avery opening, I totally agree. I opened a lot of restaurants and different businesses and got to see that firsthand as well. And you're right, it's really rewarding to see those buildings go up. It's also on the flip side, not so rewarding when they close down because the people that were running them were not very good. For me, the motivation to leave was I was working with a restaurant group, I won't say the name, and I was killing it. I consistently had some of the best numbers. I was working harder than everybody else and being very, very successful. And when raise time came around, which was a very strict once a year, they said, hey, you're not eligible for it because the rest of the company as a whole isn't doing well. So we're not giving you a raise. And, you know, me and my wife at that point in time were looking at starting our own family and going, hey, these restaurant hours, even though you work for a great concept that's kind of lunch, morning lunch based and focused, they're just not great for having a family. You still are bringing this work home at night. You have to work on the weekends. And so that was a little piece of it. But the real motivating factor was, hey, I've done better than everybody else in my area. I'm one of the top restaurants in the state. And because somebody in New York isn't doing good, I don't get a raise. I worked for this company, literally, Lacey, for 2 years. Killed it both years, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do because the company's not doing well. And I said, well, I keep making you more and more money. I deserve to get paid. And I said that's BS, just straightforward to my boss. And so that was my motivation for leaving. From there, I met with a lot of different advisors, individuals in different fields, trying to figure out what I wanted to do.
What do I want to be when I grow up?
what skills that I have that I'm good at and that I like in the restaurant industry, and how can I apply that to a different career? And that's what led me to commercial real estate. I met with almost every major brokerage in town when I was looking for a job, and was fortunate enough to end up at Foresight, and I'm very grateful for it and love those. Everybody here.
Everybody. No, I will say that this is a great place to have landed. I did not meet with every broker in the community. I met with Bethany, our broker, and just from that conversation, I got in my car and there was just a complete peace about okay, you've been paving the path to do this one day. Do it.
So I want to get back to you because this is a podcast.
I'm in the hot seat.
Right. This is your podcast. Obviously,
can we get that in writing? This is my podcast.
This episode is your
podcast. Oh, okay.
Obviously, your story is a little different, and the fact that you weren't completely starting a new concept, like for me, I was, but you were taking a leap. You were going from a salary position. How did you prepare for potentially months without pay? And you know, when you started, there was no such thing as COVID, and now COVID's hit.
Here we are.
We're in the middle of it. We're a retail brokerage firm. There is obviously more months where there's potentially not as many deals going on.
Right.
So how did you prepare for the unknown? Go.
Okay. So when my husband and I got married, I was a single mom to now our oldest daughter, Riley Jo. And I budgeted to the penny every month. I was the young kid who used a check register. Every purchase I made was thought out because there had been this time where I was not making much money and I was, taking on side hustles and all sorts of my swim lessons because I wanted to keep my job, but I also knew that, electricity was important and stuff. So I was always very budget-based minded. I love spreadsheets. Love them. I like knowing where everything goes. It's who I am. And then my husband, who was my fiance at the time, had zero idea where his money went. Like, he knew he had enough. He knew he had a savings account. He liked his house. Like, I mean, he didn't look. Everything was on auto payment. Like, he had no idea. And that gave me great anxiety because I was like, what are you doing? Like, you don't know. You don't budget. You don't know if your bills go up. Like, it just really freaked me out. And so we got married. And one of the first things we did was invest in our marriage. And we did financial peace. We did FPU through Dave Ramsey. Not because we were in a tremendous amount of debt, but we were getting married and taking these two lives where we had both been able to operate on individual budgets mm-hmm. and survive. My only accountability was, hey, I'm going to go to Target today. I'm going to spend $100. Is that okay with you? Sure, it's fine with me. All right, let's do it. Like, I didn't answer to anybody, and now I had this other person. And so we did the groundwork ahead of time so that when we moved and when we had another baby and, like, all of these different things, that we had some peace about it. And so that was what we really did to prepare for me to leave a job that made pretty good money.
It's really interesting that you say that because I very much side financially with your husband. Like, I know how to set a budget. I know how to do stuff. But when I was single before I got married, I was like, yeah, I'll just go do whatever. And my wife is very structured and a penny pincher.
Kirby, I feel for you. I understand. Let's get coffee.
She's sitting there sweating going, you bought new undershirts this month? And I'm like, yeah, because I needed them. She's like, did they disintegrate? And they're like, no, but they've got, you know, pit stains. And she's like,
we bleached those out.
I'm like,
I'm
with you. Yeah, and so she's super, super frugal, and I'm a little bit not frugal at all.
Like, I'm a little bit not frugal at all. So what he's saying is he likes the nicer things in life.
I do. That's just a little bit about me. But you're right. When you get married, you do have to kind of get everybody on the same page, on the same program. And it took us a little bit of time to do that. But once we got on the same page, we were really able to grow our combined net worth because we started rowing in the right direction together.
Yeah.
And it took some time because, man, Amazon Prime.
Dude. Whenever it was 2 days, it was even better.
It's a struggle. Amazon Prime, man. It's like, hey, I think I want... Oh, it's here. Look at
there
that.
It is.
Great.
Oh, I thought it, and now it's showing up on my phone.
That's right.
That's my life.
That's right. Now with COVID, it's less desirable because it's you're like, oh, I want this. And then 2 weeks later, they're
delayed
like,
gratification.
Your order is delayed again. And you're like, come on, just get here.
I just need the hand sanitizer, man.
And that's why everybody's saving money these days because it's not getting here fast enough.
No.
So back to it, what advice do you have for individuals that are looking to leave their 9-to-5 steady income jobs to pursue their career in real estate or elsewhere? Real estate, really, because that's where you've been.
So one, I will say there is this sweet honeymoon phase when you quit having to answer to anybody else. You can go to lunch with your friends, you can sleep in, you can go home early, you can take a nap in the middle of the day, and you really kind of have to almost go through that bender because you've never had that freedom before, and it's a bender. Like, the first 2 weeks, like, I slept so much because my kids were at school and the house was quiet and I could just kind of detox a little bit. So I would say give yourself a couple of weeks before, like, in that transition, build in that money, build in that time to really just take a deep breath and kind of get everything organized, because I will tell you, I can sit at my desk and I can think about the dust bunnies under the piano and they will drive me batty. So just take that time, really. That's step one. Step two is also plan for a rainy day, because I came into retail real estate when we had not seen a recession in more than 10 years. It seemed that we were recession proof when I came into this, and it was like the sure time to do it because things are great. America was booming. Oil prices were like $1 billion a barrel. Like, life was good. And it really quickly came crashing down. And so we had a plan in place for that rainy day. We did not know that the rainy day would include buying face masks and hand sanitizer and Lysol and toilet paper and mask quantities. But we planned for it. So just plan for that first year to be rough, and also figure out a side hustle. Figure out a way that you can continue to make money doing whatever while this is taking off. As if that is cleaning the little old lady down the street's house, if that's doing like laundry service, if that's, you know, doing graphic design for people, anything you can do to bring in extra income in the interim, because a lease doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll have a deal happen all in 1 week and it's like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I want it. I'm good. We're good. And you move on down the road. Most of the time, it's going to take months for that deal to close and then get paid the first part. And then when they open, get paid the second part. So, those are probably the things that I feel like are really important. And if you're single and you live in the same town as your parents and you're renting, I'm going to tell you, swallow your pride, move into the basement, get rid of all your junk that you don't need, and really hunker down and make that your reason. I want out of my parents' basement, so I'm going to hustle. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work long hours. We obviously are married with children. Our parents would not let us move home. So that was not an option.
I think it's great that you said that, your two insights. For me, when I came over to Foresight and began commercial real estate, and I had the exact opposite experience. I was very determined. I was in the office before 8 a.m.
But you didn't have kids?
You're right.
Know what quiet was yet.
That's true.
So,
but I was in the office before 8. I did not leave until the clock hit 5 o'clock. And going through my first year working that hard, if you will, I mean, I never left early. I didn't take days or didn't take time to myself. I went through a year of commercial real estate where I worked this very stringent schedule, and I sat down and started putting goals together for this year, and I looked at it and said, I'm not reaping any of the benefits of commercial real estate because I'm doing the same thing that I was doing. If there's a day that I have everything done, that there's nothing more that I need to do, why don't I leave at noon and go fishing? Of course, now you can't go fishing because the pandemic has...
The Rona.
The pandemic has shut down the lakes and that sort of thing. But I never took any time for myself.
Right.
And it took me a year to get wise and go, the reason I'm in this business is for the freedom of it. The freedom right. of, hey, yeah, there are going to be times when I've got to work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., which, by the way, I did twice this week. And there are times that are going to be like today where we're going to record a couple of episodes of podcasts. I've got a few phone calls to make. And by noon, I expect to be home and doing yard work because we've got guests coming into town. But that's beside the point. But I'm going to take that time for myself. Right, exactly.
Right.
So that I can spend the time with my family, which is the whole reason I got into this to begin with.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The second question I've got for you is savings. You said you set aside savings for it. I talked a little earlier about my restaurant story where I was told, hey, we're not going to give you a raise. And once that conversation happened, me and my wife made a decision that, hey, the restaurant industry is not for me. This is not where I want to be. I can work as hard as I can work and do the best job in the company and still not see any financial benefit or mm-hmm. major financial benefit for it. Whereas on the real estate side, we eat what we kill. So, you know, we may kill a lot of squirrels and then one day we kill an elephant and we're, you know, not necessarily set for life, but we're doing good.
We're set for a bit.
We're okay. We're good for a little bit. Once me and my wife made that decision that I was going to move into commercial real estate, we started saving. We started putting money aside every month because we knew that there was going to be a time frame that we weren't, even in a good market, weren't going to make money. One of the individuals that I spoke with, the principal at Valcor, Jonathan Collins, he said it's rung true that he goes, your first 6 months, you can just, in commercial real estate, you can just write those off. He goes, if you do the best you can, if you get lucky, you may get a deal or two done, but really you're establishing yourself, you're building relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And as much as I fought that to beat that, I was not able to. I think I got one or two little deals done in that like first 6 month time frame. But really, the next 6 months is when I made all the money that I made the first year.
Right.
So how much would you say you guys put aside? How much would you recommend to somebody who's maybe not married? Like you, I'm married, so there's a little bit of extra cushion in there because my wife has a job, and if I don't get a commission check for 2 months, we're not going to starve. We're not going to be sleeping under a bridge. We'll be fine. On the flip side, if I was single and didn't have a huge amount of savings or what I felt was a ton of money set aside, then I may not be able to pay a rent for a couple months because I haven't gotten a commission check for a couple months. So what do you think is a level that worked for you guys? How much, not necessarily dollar amount, but how many months did you guys plan for? And then what would you recommend to somebody that's looking to do this, maybe that is single and doesn't have a second income?
So I would, one, say figure out how to minimize your expenses. Step one, right off of the gate. Figure out, if you live in, the high rise and, the coolest part of town and you're paying ridiculous amounts of rent, humble yourself, move into the back house of some neighborhood that's way farther away from the coolest part of town. And get your finances in order. Get your rent in check. If you have a stupid, ridiculously nice car with a stupid, ridiculous payment, trade out of it. Do some things to minimize your risk. And then I would say 3 to 6 months for sure. Have more. I would say 6 months, because you're right. That first 6 months is a complete crapshoot. You don't know. You're still learning. You are totally still have training wheels on. So I would say at least 6 months of money just sitting aside. Now, that does not mean that you get on Amazon at night because you have 6 months of savings and buy frivolous things because you got the money. This means beans and rice, rice and beans. I think that Dave Ramsey says that all the time. Our 14-year-old even knows the phrase. You're living like no one else because you got to, so that you can survive, because that first year is survival mode. So 6 months, minimize your costs, stop saying yes to doing things that you can't afford to do, and really hunker down and make that leap.
Yeah, I think that's really good. So
in such a mom.
In addition to some of the advice, in commercial real estate, there's a ramp up time frame. So the 6 month, for instance, if you kill it, you're probably going to get maybe one or two deals done. I was given some pay guidance because I was trying to understand, hey, does this make sense for me and my family? And so again, Jonathan Collins at Valcor gave me this, and I have tried my hardest to beat it and have not. He said the first year you're looking at probably about $30,000 that you take home. And I was like, wow, I haven't made $30,000 in 5 or 8 years.
A lot of years, yeah.
That's been a while. And he goes, your second year, if you kill it, you do what you're supposed to, you're looking at probably $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. Is realistic as what you can do. And he goes, but that's only if you're killing it, if you're doing what you're supposed to. And I said, okay, that's livable. We can work with that. He goes, and after your third year, you should have established yourself enough and built your reputation well enough that you should be making six figures or more every year from then on out in commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. And granted, he was talking about a good, healthy market. He's not talking about, this is what you should expect in a pandemic. He goes, this is today. Like,
when right, the, this is when we were not in a recession.
A bull market for the last 10 years.
Right.
So, obviously, those expectations have changed, I'm sure, at this point. And I know guys that are really struggling right now out there. But that just goes to show you need to make sure that you set aside a nice cushion before you take a step out. One of the things that I can't remember what book I read it in, but somebody gave me the advice one time that you don't want to leave your job. Think of it as a boat pulling away from the dock, backing up to the dock.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you're able to take a step out and get your foot on the boat, have solid footing, and get in. You don't want to take the step out when the boat's 20 feet away from the dock. You're going to get wet, and nobody wants to get wet. So, if you're considering leaving your full-time salary job to take a job in commercial real estate, or you're looking to start
your
business,
own whatever,
do your own thing, mm-hmm. make sure that you've got enough money. And it actually might have been Dave Ramsey that said this. Actually, I think it was in his Entree Leadership book. Make sure that you've got enough income coming in that you're not going to get wet by stepping out.
Yeah.
That can't just necessarily be one client. If you run an IT company and you've got one big client, taking a step out to that boat could be a pretty big risk, because what if they say, we found a cheaper way to do it, or there's, you know, the market conditions change, or your
services
aren't
coronavirus happened, and so we're going to cut you because you're a fatty expense for our company.
Right. Make sure that you've got what you need to support yourself and be very successful, because right. the last thing you want to do is go back to your previous employer and go, hey, I know I just left this job, and I need to come back because this risk I took isn't panning out.
Right. And I'm not going to say that it's easy. I mean, the pandemic definitely has helped us say no to a lot of awesome trips and things that we had planned. But for us and our family, me being able to work in my passion and still be the mom when I need to be the mom, like when our kids hurt themselves and need to go get MRIs or whatever, like that, I'm able to do that. My husband works for a city, and is like, it's like a three-ring circus all the time. Like, he can't step away. So I need to be able to step away and be able to be of, the mom status, if you will. So I don't regret my decision to step out of a true 8-to-5 salaried position. There are for sure times that, that was easier. Just to be like, nope, I am going to do this. Working in with CMS, if I needed to go to an appointment for my kids, it was much easier because the owners sat in the same room with me and they knew that, like, hey, my kid's got an orthodontist appointment, I got to go take her. Like, that was acceptable. When I moved into a more corporate role, that's not as easy to navigate, leaving to go take your kids to the doctor and things like that. So it just really just opened my eyes. And we moved to a place where I have no family. So it's not like I can call my parents and be like, hey, the kids are sick, they're coming over and hanging out with you guys today. So it's just, it made better sense for us. I think commercial real estate's fun. I think it's exciting. It's never the same thing twice. Even if it's the same client, it's never the same thing twice because it's a different landlord, it's a different building, it's a different this, it's a different that. And so it does stay fresh and it keeps my attention. And that's always good too.
Awesome. Well, I've got two more questions
Uh-oh.
For you. What are you listening to? What podcast are you listening to right now?
Okay, this morning. So I actually, it's a podcast that I've listened to for a really long time. Last night, my phone was like, oh, there's a new episode. And I waited until I got in my car this morning, which was very hard for me to do for my drive-in, my hour drive-in to work. And so it's called The Big Boo Cast. It's two women who are authors, Christian authors. And one of them lives here in San Antonio. Her name is Melanie Schenkel. And I want to be her friend so bad. She doesn't even know me. But I, like I dream of the day I can run into her in Target. And I'm like, hi, I know you. you don't know me, but I'm so excited. It'd probably be the day I also got escorted out of the Target, so it's probably good that this doesn't happen. But they are just two moms that, you know, have these writing careers and just kind of share just what's on their heart, and it's one of my favorite parts of my week. So that is what I'm listening to. And then I started a new book. It's called The Lynchpin. And the author's name for this book is it David something? I really just started it. And it's basically talking about that there's like managers and then there's employees. And that's how we were always raised. Like in our parents or you get a good job, you stay there, you work your way from being an employee to a manager. And that's how you live your life. And this is how we do it. But this book talks about now there's this other type of person, which is the linchpin. And it's this person who's thinks outside of the box. It's like indisposable. That is, just all of those things. And it kind of just talks about how to operate within, that concept. And so I've gotten through like all of like, you know, two chapters. My husband actually started the book first. And, so I'm excited to see kind of where it goes. I'm going to look up the name of this author. Hold please.
That's awesome. I took your advice. I'm now in the process of reading Getting Things Done. Unfortunately, I don't have as far of a drive as you, so my 10-minute drive is not getting...
getting it done? Is it getting things done?
It's not getting things done. It's not making a very big dent in the book, but I am excited for it. I've gotten, I don't know, through a couple of chapters at this point, so it's been very helpful, and then I've bought another book, but I'm not going to talk about it until I start reading it, because I don't want to
get it. You don't want to use that.
That's right. I don't want to use it just yet.
So it's by a guy named Seth Godin. I was totally wrong.
It's Godin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the book I'm reading right now.
Okay.
So y'all can't see this, but it's just, are you indispensable? Is what it's like. That's like the catchy thing. And so that is always my goal. Is whenever. Like, when I left CMS, they were like, how do you do everything you do in a day? I'm like, I don't know. I just figured it out. I just kept going. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you have taken on way too many hats. And, like, how are we going to get one person to fill your position? So, which is fun. But, so I'm excited about it. I have this hour drive that I have it in a book form. And I also have an audio book so that I can kind of take it however I get it. So I'll probably finish before my husband they're reading it for work, so.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Did you have any other questions or anything to add?
Bill, what is your favorite deal story thus far in your career?
I have one.
I just think that's fun today.
I do have one. We have a landlord that I work for. He had a second-generation urgent care that went out of business. And it was a beautiful second generation space, and I just felt that there's a lot of value in this space, and that somebody would be able to use it. And so I focused on every medical group in San Antonio.
You had a few to choose from.
Yeah. And just went through and called anybody that would answer the phone. Ended up with the CEO of Baptist Health Systems, and he goes, that location is pretty good, looks, and send it to his real estate guys. We toured it with his real estate guys. They said, this is perfect. We can make this work with very minor alterations. And we're able to get that space turned around and leased up. I guess the more exciting part of it is the urgent care that had owned it before still was paying on their lease, and it was a very large lease. At monthly, because it was a national company that hadn't completely gone out of business. They just shuttered that one location. So not only did I feel very proud that we were able to add a lot of value for our landlord, we were able to actually negotiate a great buyout agreement with them as well. And it turned out to be a win-win for everybody.
A win-win-win.
The previous tenant was happy because they got another lease for pennies on the dollar. The new tenant was happy. They got a great space at a great value, great rates. The landlord was happy. He went from a vacant space to a full space. The tenants next door were happy because now they've gotten, you know, another tenant, and it's drawing more traffic to the center. And of course, I was happy to get a deal done, make everybody happy, and I did get a nice commission on it. So
that's fantastic. Yes, and I'm sure those tenants next door are happy because nothing is scarier than having just vacant space.
And it was a large vacant space.
A large vacant space. Where, you know, teenagers who are, you know, out of school for indefinite amounts of time can go and, you know, play hide and go seek or whatever they do. So, yeah, well, that's a cool story.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing with us on this episode, Lacey. Don't forget to like and share the Garage to Main Street podcast, and we will see you next time.